It's time to get your news on. This broadcast is in text, audio and video and is accessed on wia.org.au.
And this is it, the national news from the WIA for week commencing July 6, 2025. And this week, news for both youngsters and old-timers. Cyber criminals strike close to home. And WIA President Scott Williams, VK3KJ, regards to a common license for this news. But wait, there's much, much more in this edition of news from the Wireless Institute of Australia. I'm Editor Graham, VK4BB.
This is WA President Scott Williams, VK3KJ, and welcome to all listeners to the WIA National News Broadcast this week. Towards the end of July, when listening to the WIA National News in the future, either directly on Sunday or as it's rebroadcasted across many different mediums, you will hear a new statement being announced in regard to a common license. This announcement will be as follows. This national news edition originates from VK1 WIA and is rebroadcasted throughout Australia and around the world under a common license published on the WIA website. The WIA National News Service is copyright to the Wireless Institute of Australia, and rebroadcast is authorised only under the provisions of that common license. You might ask yourself what this is all about. In summary, the common license allows authorised individuals and groups to retransmit a broadcast program or content. Specifically, the WIA's common license details the terms under which the rebroadcasters can use the content, while the WIA retains copyright ownership. In essence, a rebroadcast common license is a way to balance the rights of content creators with a desire to share and reuse content. It provides a structured framework for authorised rebroadcasting, ensuring that the original creator's rights are protected while enabling access to the content. A key aspect of the introduction of the Creative Commons license is the requirement of attribution. This means rebroadcasters must give credit to the original creator or source when using the content. Over the past years, the WIA has observed on several occasions where content from the Wireless Institute of Australia news broadcast has been copied and then adapted, mixed and edited. It has then been rebroadcasted without any acknowledgement to the WIA or the actual creators. The WIA and all of our wonderful contributors go to great length to bring you this professional quality news broadcast every week, and the introduction of this common license is a step in making sure the ownership and acknowledgement is made clear. So, if you're one of the individuals involved in the rebroadcast of the national news, please visit the Wireless Institute of Australia website and familiarise yourself with the terms and conditions of the common license. Importantly, please make sure you read out the statement that I read out at the start of my update. That's it for me this week, and this has been Scott Williams, WIA President, on behalf of the WIA Board. Best wishes.
This is Greg, VK2, GBK.
Julie and Joe, School Amateur Radio Club Network, VK3 SRC.
I'm Tony, VK7 AX.
Hello again from Peter, VK4EA. Coming to you again from the engine in Turrbal and Niagara Country. That's all.
Australiana. Qantas can confirm that a cyber incident that occurred in one of its contact centres impacting customer data is now contained. On Monday, 30 June 2025, Qantas detected unusual activity on a third-party platform used by a Qantas airline contact centre. They then took immediate steps and contained the incident and advised all Qantas systems remain secure. The incident occurred when a cyber criminal targeted a call centre and gained access to a third-party customer servicing platform. A 27-year-old former student of Western Sydney University has been charged over a series of cyber attacks that impacted the educational institution. itnews.com.au report that cybercrime detectives executed a search warrant in Kingswood, arresting the woman who was refused bail. New South Wales Police said a joint effort by Strike Force detectives, working closely with Western Sydney University, the AFP Joint Policing Cyber Coordination Centre, JCP3 and cybersecurity experts, identified the alleged hacker as a former student of the university. Police allege that the woman initially exploited university systems to secure unauthorised discount parking on campus. But as the offending escalated, the woman is alleged to have altered her academic results and eventually threatened to sell confidential student data on the dark web, New South Wales Police said in a statement. And to Queensland, where the state government is to spend $1 billion to overhaul its technology delivery, aiming to unify IT investments and systems across 19 departments over the next 4 years. Detailed in their state budget for 25-26, the funding will be administered by the Department of Customer Services, Open Data and Small and Family Business, which was formed following a cabinet reshuffle at the end of 2024.
From here, there and everywhere, you've tuned to the Wireless Institute of Australia's National News Service. We are VK1WIA. Now with international news, Jason, VK2LAW.
International news is with thanks to Amateur Radio Daily, ARRL, DX World, EHAM, Hackaday, IARU, IRTS, Newsline, NZART, RAC, RadioWorld.com, RSGB, SARL, and the worldwide sources of the WIA. Leading international news this week, SpaceX Transporter 14 rideshare delivers small sats, re-entry tech and memorial ashes. A SpaceX Falcon 9 rocket lifted off from Vandenberg Space Force Base in California, carrying 70 payloads for a diverse range of customers. The mission, known as Transporter 14, is the latest in SpaceX's dedicated rideshare program, which provides cost-effective launch services for small satellites and experimental spacecraft. Among the payloads was a special memorial capsule containing cremated human remains and DNA samples. The exploration company's new Nyx reusable spacecraft is flying this commemorative mission in cooperation with Celestis, a company specializing in space burials. Nyx will circle Earth two or three times before being recovered, carrying remains and DNA from about 150 people. A new study has revealed that the May 2024 Gannon solar storm caused GPS signals to be off by up to 70 metres, severely impacting farmers who lost over $500 million due to malfunctioning GPS-guided machinery during peak planting season. The storm, the most powerful in 20 years, created widespread ionospheric turbulence that distorted GPS signals for up to 2 days. And produced stunning auroras visible to USA observers as far south as Mexico and Spain. Boston University researchers used a network of fixed GPS receivers, originally intended for tectonic studies, to measure the disturbances, uncovering a massive wall of ionospheric plasma that threw off positioning data across North America. This GPS disruption affected not only agriculture but also aviation, exceeding the safety margin for altitude positioning during landings. Experts warn that this storm was mild compared to a potential Carrington-level event, which could cause more severe global consequences. Scientists suggest that real-time ionospheric monitoring and AI-based signal correction could help mitigate such risks in future storms. The New York office of the FCC's Enforcement Bureau has sent a pirate letter to the owner of a mixed-use property in one of the five New York City boroughs. The Commission is investigating a complaint about an unlicensed broadcast in June and November of last year, as well as this past January, on 89.3 FM from Hampden Place. Public records indicate that Hampden Realty owns the property, which is classified as a walk-up apartment with ground floor stores. On-site notices identify exclusive One Realty as the property manager. The FCC addressed the letter to both. As an aside, pirate letters were sent to 41 properties in 2024. Mexico's president has threatened legal action over debris from a recent SpaceX rocket explosion near the US-Mexico border. President Sheinbaum said the government is investigating potential violations of international law due to environmental contamination. The explosion occurred during a ground test of a SpaceX Starship at its Starbase facility in Texas, sending a large fireball into the sky. Mexican officials are now conducting a comprehensive environmental review focused on the nearby state of Tamaulipas. This comes after the US FAA approved an increase in annual Starship launches from 5 to 25, despite warnings from conservation groups about threats to wildlife. President Sheinbaum emphasized that any resulting lawsuit would be based on scientific findings and legal analysis. If filed, the lawsuit would follow another recent case in which Mexico sued Google over the labeling of the Gulf of Mexico as the Gulf of America for users in the United States. This change is seen by Mexico as a violation of its sovereignty and a distortion of geographical naming conventions. For WIA National News in Sydney, I'm Jason, VK2LAW.
We are VK1WIA. Now, operational news with VK4FUQ, Felix.
Hello there. Now, Qantas Wise 2025, this weekend. Marconi Memorial HF Qantas, 1400 hour Sulu, July 5 to 1400 hour Sulu, July 6. CW on 160, 80, 40, 20, 15 and 10 metres. IAAUHF World Championship next weekend. The 24-hour IAAUHF World Championship starts at 1200 hours UTC on Saturday 12 July and ends at 1159 hours UTC on Sunday 13 July. This annual contest supports amateur cell training in radio communications, improving operating skills, conducting technical investigations and intercommunicating with other amateurs around the world using the 160, 80, 40, 20, 15 and 10 metre bands. Trans-Tasman Low Band Contest, 19 July. The Trans-Tasman Contest, held on the third weekend in July, aims to encourage low band activity between VK and ZL. Only contest bands 160, 80 and 40 metres are allowed with SSB, CW and digital. RIDI or PSK. Central Coast Amateur Radio Club is but just one club getting behind this event by building and installing a 40 metre vertical. Yota Contest 2025. Organised by the IAA Region 1 Youth Working Group in cooperation with the Hungarian Amateur Radio Society, the aim of the Yota Contest is to increase youngsters' activity on the air, strengthen the reputation of the Yota program, and demonstrate support for youngsters across the world. The next two sessions of this year's Yota Contest will be held 19 July, 29 December. RSGB Yota Contest, July 26 to July 27, 2025. Mode CW SSB. Bands 80, 40, 20, 15, 10 metres. Work once per band, per mode. Remembrance Day Contest. This contest is held every year on the anniversary of the end of World War II, in honour of the Australian amateurs who lost their lives in wartime. This contest is unusual because the trophy goes to the Australian state or territory that scores the highest level of activity. Next contest, 16th and 17th August 2025. Oceania DX OCDX Contest. The OCDX Contest is Oceania's only international-style contest, where contacts with stations all over the globe are able to participate. Oceania stations may contact any station for QSO points, whilst non-Oceania stations are required to contact any station in Oceania for QSO points. The contest runs over the first two full weekends in October and has SSB, CW and SWL categories. Now the DX window to the world. DX window in July. Celebrating the Georgia Amateur Radio Club's 75th anniversary, four special call signs have been activated by DARC till 31 October. DC7, D5D, DD7, DK7, and DR75DARC. 8K3 EXPO is on the air until October 13, 1.8 MHz to 10 GHz. This event marks the first time a call sign has been established with the 8K prefix and draws attention to the Osaka World Expo. Well, you may not work them, but you may hear them. Once again, Italian radio amateurs have been authorized to use the 40 MHz band until the end of the year. They are allowed to operate from 40.660 MHz to 40.700 MHz, with a maximum power of 10 watts. The Italian regulator has given permission until 31 December, also for 70.1, 70.2, and 70.3 MHz. Switzerland. 4U0 ITU is the call sign for the International Amateur Radio Club at ITU HQ in Geneva, to use from 16 May to the end of the year, in celebration of the 160th anniversary of the International Telecommunication Union. For WIA National News, I'm Felix VK 4FUQ in Ingham.
From here, there and everywhere, you've tuned to the Wireless Institute of Australia's National News Service. We are VK1WIA. Now, special interest group news with VK3GTV, Cole.
Hello, first up in worldwide special interest group news, it's astronomy and wireless weather. ABC Science website has reported on the Vera C. Rubin Observatory in Chile, which has released its first images captured by the world's largest digital camera. These high-resolution shots showcase stunning astronomical features both within and beyond our galaxy. ABC Environment reporter Peter de Kriff and astrophysicist Jonty Horner from the University of Southern Queensland both marvelled at the extraordinary detail, with Jonty describing the images as remarkably sharp even when zoomed in to the farthest points. The secret lies in the Rubin Observatory's powerful setup. A telescope with an 8.4-metre-wide mirror funnels light into a massive, state-of-the-art camera. While most smartphones boast around 12 megapixels and high-end digital cameras around 100 megapixels, the Rubin Observatory's camera dwarfs them all with a colossal 3,200 megapixel. That's 3,200. Worldwide Special Interest Groups, Balloons. The Secunda ARC Pico Balloon Project. The Secunda Amateur Radio Club, ZS6-SRC, is launching a series of 12 commemorative Pico balloon launches, the first one back on the 24th of May this year. These launches form part of the 100-year centenary celebrations of the South African Radio League, SARL, founded in May 1925. The project also pays tribute to more than a decade of BACA, balloon-carrying amateur radio, and honours the individuals who contributed to its success since its inception. The first BACAR event took place over 12 years ago. The idea itself dates back to the 1970s, when Hans, ZS6AKV, laid the foundation for amateur radio ballooning in South Africa. Each Pico balloon commemorates one of the individuals who made a significant contribution to BACAR. The target launch window runs to the second Saturday in October 2025. The balloons are transmitting whisper on 14,09560 MHz and or 14,09580 MHz. And closer to home, in fact today, Sunday the 6th of July, well, let's hear again from Mark, VK5QI, from the Amateur Radio Experimenters Group, ARIG, in Adelaide, South Australia.
Hi. Coming up on Sunday will be ARIG's 64th Project Horus High Altitude Balloon Launch. On this flight, we're going to be flying our crossband repeater payload, with the aim of the flight being to get it high enough, about 35 kilometres altitude, to provide repeater coverage all the way from Adelaide to Melbourne. There's also plenty of other ways you can get involved with the flight, including receiving our telemetry and imagery payloads, and tracking the progress of the flight live online. All the details on the launch, including frequencies and repeater access information, is available on our website at areg.org.au. We hope to hear you via the repeater on launch day.
Thank you, Mike. Worldwide Special Interest Group's Faith, get me to the church on time. Plenty of advance notice that the popular churches and chapels on the air event will take place on Saturday the 13th of September between 10 a.m. and 4 p.m. UTC. No matter where in the world you are, if you're planning to put a station on the air, please let John Resdell, G3XYF, know by emailing him, jhresdell@gmail.com. And that address, of course, is in our text editions, bestread@wya.org.au. Or you can also subscribe from that web address for the emailed weekly version. Worldwide Special Interest Group's Final Frontier. Jason, VK2LAW, told us earlier of that SpaceX Transporter 14 carrying human remains into space. Two amateur radio satellites also hitched a ride. Paris T2, a 3U CubeSat developed by the Taiwan Space Agency with support from National Formosa University, carries a crossband voice repeater and APRS digipeater. It provides voice communications on uplink 145.980 MHz, 67 Hz tone, and downlink 435.250 MHz, along with APRS packet services on 145.825 MHz. Students and amateur operators worldwide will have access to the satellite's unencrypted telemetry and educational outreach tools. Indonesia's RIDU Sat 1 also joined the manifest. The 1U CubeSat, managed by the Republic of Indonesia Defense University, uses amateur radio frequencies for educational training and communications. It features a VHF APRS payload on 145.825 MHz and a telemetry beacon on 145.925 MHz, designed to support student learning and community engagement in satellite operations. Worldwide Special Interest Groups, IOTA, Islands on the Air. The IOTA number for the St. Peter and St. Paul Archipelago is SA014. It's listed under the St. Peter and St. Paul Rocks group within the South America region. The archipelago is also known as St. Peter and St. Paul Rocks and is a group of islands under Brazilian sovereignty. Now the Araucaria DX group is pleased to announce that it's received permission from the Brazilian Navy for a DX expedition to St. Peter and St. Paul Archipelago to take place in the October-November 2025 timeframe. The actual dates will be announced later. Jim N6TQ is active during the first 2 weeks of July from Devon Island, NA009, as N6TQ/VY0. He's stationed in the Flashline Mars Arctic Research Station, QSL, via LOTW. And some IOTA reminders, OC013. Steve, ZL2KE, will again be active from Rarotonga as E51KEE during August, the 3rd to the 18th to be exact. He was previously active from there last year, QRV mainly on 40 through to 10 metres, CW and SSB using verticals next to the sea and end-fed wires, QSL via IK2DUW, LOTW, EQSL and Clublog. OC065. Lance, W7GJ, will be active as H40GJ from Pigeon Island, OC065, to Motu Province on the 8th to the 7th of August. This will be a 6-metre EME de-expedition using Q6560A in the Q65 pile-up mode. Lance said that when he's not aimed up at the moon, he'll be monitoring 50.313 on FT8. Lance says, please take the initiative to call him when you think that there may be ionospheric propagation. If propagation is good and there are many callers, he may switch to FT4 or FT8 on a frequency to be announced. QSL via LOTW or direct to W7GJ. Worldwide Special Interest Groups, Radio Amateur Old Timers. And tomorrow, Monday the 7th, being the first Monday of our current month, prompts this input from Peter, VK7PD.
This month, instead of the usual broadcast, we will offer an historical broadcast from years past by Alan Doble, VK3AMD, from December 2002. The usual news and information will be broadcast next month. Everyone, RAOTC members and non-members alike, is most welcome to listen to the program and join in the callbacks afterwards. Full details of all transmission times and modes can be found on the RAOTC website at www.raotc.org.au or just Google RAOTC broadcasts. If none of the transmission times suits you, you can download the audio file at any time from today from the club website. The Perth RAOTC luncheon is held on the second Tuesday of the month at a new venue. Full details are available on the RAOTC website. Once again, tune in tomorrow for the July RAOTC bulletin. Enjoy the program and please join in the callbacks afterwards. 7-3 from Peter, VK7PD.
Thanks, Peter. And finally, we catch up with Alec, VK2MV, with Worldwide Special Interest Groups, Radio Amateur Young Timers, YOTA.
Thank you, Cole. Time to tell you about the PJ6Y de-expedition to Sabah. In October of this year, the PJ6Y Pacific Island DX Group plans on a de-expedition to the Caribbean island of Sabah. It is being arranged as an opportunity for young amateur radio operators to experience de-expeditioning at the highest level for their very first time. Consisting of a diverse international team of 12 to 14 operators, they will operate with 9 first-time young de-expeditioners. Additionally, 30 to 40 young hams will join remotely using the Next Gen 2 rig-in-a-box system made possible through a grant from the Northern California DX Foundation. The team will set up 3 local and 2 remote stations operating CW, SSB, FT8, and satellite from 2 separate operating locations. Sabah has an area of just about 13 square kilometers and is the IOTA reference NA-145. The de-expedition is planned to run from the 17th to the 19th of October 2025. For WIA National News, I'm Alec, VK2MV in Sydney. Now back to you, Cole.
Thanks, Alec. And that wraps up the segment for this week. For WIA National News, I'm Col, VK3GTV.
Across Australia from VK1WIA, you are tuned to the National News Service. In Melbourne, it can be seen and heard on the Melbourne DATV repeater, VK3RTV, on Sundays at 10:30 a.m. and also 8 p.m. I'm Peter, VK3BFG.
This is VK1WIA. All points of contacts from today's news stories are to be found in print when you read the web editions, www.wia.org.au.
Finally, it's a date. Now, don't forget, if you're a club, we'd love to hear from you. Clubs are welcome to email, text, along with audio for this section to nationalnews@wia.org.au. And looking at it this week, we see Adelaide Hills Amateur Radio Society's big annual buy and sell, Saturday, July 19, Marion RSL, sellers at 8:30, buyers at 10:30. The Australian Ladies Amateur Radio Association's 50th anniversary happens at Glen Waverley, July 26. Redcliffe Car Boot Sale, Saturday, August 30 at the Clubhouse. September 14, 4 to 5 p.m. Australian Eastern Standard Time, the next WIA-affiliated club's briefing webinar. West Lakes Field Day, 8 a.m., October 26, on the club grounds. AREG's Amateur Radio and Electronics Sale, Sunday 26th of October, David Roche Park, Kilbourne. The Gold Coast Amateur Radio Society's Hamfest, November 9. Miena Hamfest, Saturday, November 15 in VK7. Across to VK3, the Rosebud Radio Fest, Eastbourne Primary School Rosebud, November 16. Darwin Amateur Radio Club's Christmas Party, 6:30 p.m. December 1. And December 7, the last WIA-affiliated club's webinar will be held for the year. Now, till next we meet, I'm Graham, VK4BB. Walk softly.
This has been the Wireless Institute of Australia with the weekly news service. This broadcast is in text, audio and video and is accessed on wia.org.au.